Welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast, where we're serving up gospel-fueled courage to the Christian woman to remain faithful in her calling.
There's a lot of ragweed. I think we're getting to like ragweed time. And just real dusty yesterday.
You ready?
Yep.
Hello and welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast. I am Jordan Sparks and Jared and I are here this morning to chat. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. We just got back last night from our yearly river trip, which is fun. Did you have a good time?
And a blast. It was a lot of fun. We didn't see any bald eagles, but other than that,
it was really good. There's no bald eagles. What else did we not do this year? The ransom was like, he was like, we didn't see a Cybertruck on the way there. He's really into Cybertrucks right now.
Yeah, trying to tell him that electric is not the way.
Right.
He likes the look.
Yeah. He wants to get one and convert it to a gasoline motor.
Right.
So high aspirations.
Yeah, definitely. I told him really that's not the best thing to do. Probably just need to get an actual truck.
Yeah. Oak loved the river and I thought that was adorable. Mm-hmm. And he just only wanted to be with you, the captain of our canoe. And he wanted to, row.
He
wanted full control of the oar so that he could be rowing.
Mm-hmm. And then when I wouldn't let him do it, he would weep and moan. Just devastated.
Yeah, I was a little nervous that he was going to cry the entire time because he couldn't have the oar, but that only lasted a short amount of time. Then he just enjoyed being with you.
And he just stood there and watched and
he literally
looked
just stood there the whole...
put his hand in the water and it was a good time.
Fish.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I thought it was a good time. The weather was absolutely perfect.
Yes, it was. We jumped off cliffs. We did some swimming. It was a little cold. Mm-hmm. The weather was perfect, but a little bit chilly for swimming.
Yeah, I forgot in the water, actually.
No,
I mean,
I
got my feet in the water. That was it.
And you didn't get into Alley, but we got into Alley Spring. Mm-hmm. The water's probably 50 degrees, something like that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's a really beautiful spring that comes and flows into the Jack's Fork. It's kind of like a thing we do every year where everybody gets in, dives in, and then Josh takes a video of everybody diving in, and that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
It's fun time.
I did not get in this year because I had gotten sick a few days before, and it was like one of those last-minute decisions, like, should I go or should I stay home? And I ended up feeling better, so I'm really glad I went. But I thought jumping into 50-degree water may not make me feel the best.
Well, it was one of those judgment calls where we were praying for wisdom. God, help us have wisdom here on this decision. And it's kind of like, well, we just made a last-minute decision.
Mm-hmm.
And God answered our prayer because it was the right one.
Yeah.
And your headache went away. Your body started feeling normal.
Sometimes it's really hard because it's like there's not a right or wrong. It's just kind of like you don't really know what you for sure should do. And I just got to the point of talking about it where I was like, let's just stop thinking about it and just do it.
Yeah.
Let's just do it.
Just make a decision.
Just go.
And go.
So I ended up going and I felt fine and I was really, really thankful. And it was just really nice to be outside for a few days. But it was very cold in the mornings and cold.
40s degree weather. It was great.
Yeah, which is just nice sitting in a fire and drinking coffee and being with friends. And it was really cool. Oh, we should tell about our unpacking hack.
Unpacking hack.
Yeah. Okay. Whenever we unload everything.
Well, you're inside. I'm outside.
Yeah. So normally unpacking everything is really hectic and stressful for me.
Campers know what we're talking about here too.
Yeah.
Because you have a million different things that you brought. And then a million different things you have to put back.
And it's just a lot of unpacking and everything's dirty and children are dirty and you're tired and there's food that needs to be put away and it's just a lot. So, and then your house gets trashed in the process of putting all the things away, you know. So we've done this thing the past couple times that we've gone camping and it works really well. I'm inside and then Jared and the boys are outside unloading everything, and as they unload everything, they just put it in the garage at the doorstep, not bringing everything in the house. So it's not like cluttering up piles and piles and piles of things in the house. And then I just one thing at a time, like I bring one bag in, empty that bag completely, and then put that bag away, and then go get another thing, get the cooler, bring it in, empty everything out of that, clean it out, put it away, and then just one thing at a time. And so it makes it way less overwhelming than seeing a mountain of clutter in your house. I don't know why that has felt revolutionary to me, but it makes a world of difference. And I feel like unpacking went completely wonderful yesterday.
It was very smooth and it didn't take a lot of time.
No, everything's clean, put away.
Right.
Yeah.
So that went really well.
Children are no longer caked in dust.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are we talking about today?
So today we're talking about mental health or mental illness, whichever way you want to look at it. But
specifically about family members, taking care of people in your life that have some sort of mental illness or walking with people.
Yeah. Yes. Like this is actually a listener generated question. You guys wrote in and asked if we would chat about mental illness. And this is a very tricky topic to talk about because there's so many layers and so many different types of mental illness. I mean, a lot of things are categorized. It's a junk drawer. So a lot of things are categorized as mental illness. So we could go a million different directions in this, but we decided to just kind of talk about our experience and in our life and the way that we have kind of handled things with loved ones that struggle with mental illness and what we have found the best ways to deal with that are.
So, yeah.
Do we start?
Yeah. Well, there are complications in talking about this, as Jordan mentioned. We're talking about the body. We're talking about the soul. We're talking about physical and spiritual. And without getting into the debate of body, soul, and mind, or body, soul, and spirit, or body and soul, dichotomy, trichotomy kind of thing, just all of us agree, and everyone agrees, that they're Christians anyways, that there's material and spiritual, physical, and then what's going on underneath the surface at the soul level.
Yeah, well, a lot of times, even the scripture, like, the cheerful heart is good medicine.
Right.
Like, our spirit affects our body. And
yes.
Everything is intertwined.
Yes.
Just to go along with what you're saying.
So there are things that are difficult to unwind when it comes to mental health issues because you have some people that are dealing with mental health issues that are a result of years and years and years of sin and rebellion that have affected their body mm-hmm. because their soul has affected their body. And then there are others that have dealt with, and I'm going to talk frankly about my father here. And I want to still be respectful because we've been walking with my dad for a very long time who's dealt with mental health issues and sin issues that have gone all the way back to an injury. And so then you have the kind of end result is the same thing as just straight up mental problems because you've got somebody that's dealt with a mental or an injury of the frontal lobe that have caused the same sorts of problems that people who deal with just mental health issues have dealt with. And so we've had to walk with him over the years. So there's many different ways you can get. There's also ways that you can get in a similar situation based on the foods that you eat and years of abuse when it comes to just how you've lived your life and treated your physical body can eventually end up affecting your brain. So you can get there through lack of repentance and just bad decisions that have led to really, you know, reaping what you sow kind of end results. And then you can get there through injuries or you can get through their, medicine induced mental health issues that many people have got to because they've ran to a pill and, you know, have gotten on some sort of anxiety issue or medicines or even pain pills that have thrown them into a mental loop. Mm-hmm. And with all the chemicals that we put in our bodies through medicine, many people have now dealt with decade after decade of mental health issues because they've not been able to level out after medicine-induced mental illness. And that's another issue that my dad has experienced. From knee injuries in his 30s, getting on medication that threw him for a loop and then not being able to level out. And all of this leads to a point, regardless of how you got there, to where the people who love the individual who's dealing with mental health issues, regardless if it's sin issues, injury, or medicine, or just mental health issues that have gone down generation after generation from melancholy or depression or whatever, you have people who love that individual and really don't know how to help. And they go back and forth from sympathy to anger mm-hmm. because there's questions as to why you're dealing with the things you're dealing with. And those that are doing well and love you just want you to be well. And it gets exhausting taking care of them. So I think there's so many layers of complication. And we don't have a guidebook, 1, 2, 3, 4, how to deal with this. Mainly what we have is encouragement and, you know, and just encourage you to pray kind of thing. But maybe we can talk a little bit about what we've experienced.
Yeah, I was just going to say, and it gets tiring dealing with someone who has erratic or bad behavior. So there is a lot of patience that's required whenever you're dealing with someone with mental illness. And like Jared said, there's a lot of questions marks of what is actually going on here. could you
spiritual warfare too?
That's exactly what I was going to say. Could you actually speak to the aspect of, like you said, spiritual warfare, and that there are examples that we have of mental illness that is brought on by a demon or evil force or
yeah. Well, Jesus, I mean, came up on two demon possessed men. And, you know, there's down throughout history examples of this in pastoral ministry of pastors working with people who don't just have religious paranoia. They have something spiritually that's going on that's affecting their body. And honestly, in a lot of the mental health world, what people have tried to diagnose, and we talk about this, the physical and the spiritual, people have tried to say that which is spiritual is physical, and they've missed so much. And I think that's why even Christian psychology can go into the realm of materialism like the regular psychologist in the world, because therapists are just looking for natural answers for spiritual problems. And why I think so much of mental health, that it's in that category, that, you know, I was a biblical counselor for several years, and we had the DSM-5 that was sitting on our desk, and in every desk in every office. And I was doing something uniquely different than what everybody else was doing. The therapists there were working through more of a materialistic view. Even though they were Christians, they had this general worldview of psychology that was, this is a mental disorder. How do we help this mental disorder? There's something going on in the brain. And I had this working operation that there's much here that's happening that's spiritual, that many of the answers are repentance and spiritual warfare. And I think that many of the issues that we have in the mental health world, although they do have physical elements involved with them, like physiological things happening within the body, are largely spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
They're largely supernatural, dark, evil forces that hate the soul and they hate the body. And they want to keep people confused in these fields of study. And they want to keep people in the dark, because the devil and his minions are very sneaky, and they want to take people out. And I think the more materialistic worldview that you have, and the mode of operation that you're kind of functioning in as a Christian, the more you're going to minimize the spiritual side and maximize the physiological side. And I don't think many people that are within our listener base run the risk of over-spiritualizing. I don't think they run the risk of over-seeing Satan and demons everywhere. I think they run the risk of minimizing that spiritual warfare aspect of it.
I think that is a tendency in our camp with the pendulum swings, you know. We were brought up in a very charismatic background. So there's like these pendulum swings from you see the devil around every corner to the pendulum swing of he's probably not in Carbondale, you know, or not as prevalent in our life as what maybe there are more arrows than what you realize. So I think that it's important to be very balanced when it comes to spiritual warfare, to know that there are arrows being shot, there are demons trying to oppress, and to know that whenever there are problems arising with the mind and body, that should be our first line of defense is prayer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that it's helpful to understand with all of this, there's no way to get around going to our Heavenly Father in prayer and asking for help, because this is a spiritual battle. Even if you come to the conclusion that this is not Satan and demons or something like that that's going on, this is a dogfight. When you're helping people with mental health that you love, you've got to understand your own limitations. And you also got to understand, especially if you're talking with aging parents or grandparents, somebody dealing with dementia or something like that, what we're dealing with my father for 20 years now is you got to find ways to have your conscience clear before the Lord that you are properly honoring those that you love, and especially your father and mother. That fifth commandment is an obligation that you don't get to wad up and throw out the window if it's hard to honor your father and mother. You still have to. It's a proactive thing. And it's a dogfight. It's exhausting. And it can deplete your energy and your mental energy and rob you of the things that you're required to do by God with your own family. And so for me, I've had to compartmentalize. And I think this isn't an okay thing to do, compartmentalize honoring my father. And one of the ways that I've got to honor my father is by not doing everything he wants me to do, and not being everything he wants me to be for him. And that means he doesn't feel like I'm honoring him in the ways that he wants me to. And what I've got to know as a son is I am, if I am before the Lord, I've got to have a clear conscience to say I am honoring my father, and the best way I can honor my father is to be the best husband I can be to Jordan and best father I can be to my children. And I can't get consumed in trying to fix my father's mental health. It can't rob my time. It can't rob my energy. It can't rob my joy. I've got to pray and trust the Lord, but there's limitations to what I can do. And when you're dealing with somebody that has mental health varying degrees here, you have to understand that there's only so much that you can do, and you cannot let their mental health and their well-being rob your entire life. You've got to be able to do what you can do with that clear conscience before God, but they're just simple limitations that you know, you get to a barrier where it's like, I can't do anything else. My resources are depleted. My energy's depleted. And God, I'm just trusting you here with this individual that I love dearly, but I just can't do anything else, because those type of people will, you know, become, many of them, narcissistic, and they will require from you things that you can't give them. And it's going to be difficult because they're going to, you know, pull at your heart, say things and manipulate you in ways that you'll really end up thinking like, my gosh, do I really not love them? Or maybe I am, maybe I'm not honoring, you know, God and others, or maybe I am the selfish one here, as you've given your time and energy and resources to help. And so there's so many layers, and that's what I mean. There's not a how-to guide here. I just want to, in some way, encourage you and say, you know, trust the Lord, do the best you can, and then, you know, leave some of the results here to God, because there's just limitations that you have in trying to help those that you love that are dealing with mental health issues.
Should we talk a little bit about the tendency for people to want to just get the toxic people out of their life? And often those with mental health are often obviously pretty toxic because they're hard to deal with. Like, it would be super easy just to categorize anyone in your life that's a loved one with mental health issues to be like, well, that's a toxic person. So sorry, we can no longer have any sort of relationship. And should we maybe talk about how to continue in relationship? Because, I mean, obviously our stance is to not cut those people out of your life, unless they're, I mean, there's so many caveats. If they harming you or your family or something, you obviously have to set boundaries. And we set boundaries in our life. Absolutely. It's not that we're just like free game. Yeah, you're just all in. Mm-hmm. So boundaries are wise and necessary, and you have to do that. But I think it's important to consider the golden rule, just to be overly simple with this. Like, how would you want to be treated? And Fruitful and Fearless listeners are majority women. You know, there's always times in a woman's life where you have probably dealt with some mental health issues yourself, or surrounding having a baby, or, you know, some hormonal struggles. So, like, if you went down a path of mental illness that you could not dig yourself out of, how would you want to be treated by your loved ones? Would you want to be toxic to them and cut out?
Well, toxic is such a buzzword. It's so in right now.
It's so hot right now.
Yeah, yeah. And it has been for, I don't know how long I started hearing that word or whatever. But many people use that as a way to just have no obligations to loved ones at all, or just to live selfish lives because they don't want to deal with the problems of other people, and they don't want to do anything they can to help. So they just say, well, you're toxic. I'm going to get you out of your life, out of my life, and I'm going to be out of your life, kind of thing, because people are calloused and hard-hearted. And that's obviously, that's a wrong thing. There is a right way to set these boundaries, like you're saying. I think if we're talking about, for instance, unrepentant sin, and over a long period of time that is harmful to you or others, there's ways that you can say, hey, listen, you're not going to be able to come to our house. You can't come to this family event. We're going to control the times that we sit with you or see you. I'm going to come, but my family's not going to come. There are many different ways that you can be wise about continuing to care for people that others would say, well, they're toxic, and you should just write them out of your life. And, you know, considering my situation, I think that it would be very easy for somebody to say, why do you have anything to do with your father anymore? And in my case, I had all these decades of growing up of relational equity that have built up. And then I've got a fifth commandment of how to honor my father. But we've had to make hard decisions to say, you know, there's ways that I can do that fifth commandment, and there's ways that would be unhealthy for my family. Therefore, no coming over to the house, or
and it's been different in different seasons.
Yeah. Based on how they're doing. But I can't let the mental energy that it takes to do what he wants me to do ruin my family and my time with my children and my life, which is exactly what would happen is if I did everything he wanted me to do, if I was just consumed in thoughts about him and how to help him. And it would be severe consequences for our relationship and for my relationship with our children. I just can't let that happen. And I think with toxic people, the tendency is to just be consumed with that person to the positive or the negative,
right,
where they are having their way with you because you're thinking about them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you put that barrier up and say, we're not going to have anything to do with them anymore, it still consumes your thoughts. So you do have something to do with them. It's just in your mind,
mm-hmm,
and it's just driving you crazy. So you got to have a place of peace in your mind where you're just having to, you know, what Paul does with people that are unrepentant. And I think it is a little bit different here, but some of the principles apply. He had no problem handing people over to Satan,
mm-hmm,
of just washing his hands with people for a season, for the sake of their soul, and trusting that God is going to do something with them, or the devil is going to sow seeds of discord in this individual's life, for that individual, because they've been handed over to Satan, is going to be driven back to the Lord because they see how terrible it is walking in darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And in some way or another, you have to just trust the Lord,
mm-hmm,
with people that are in sin and people that are dealing with, that are just not right in the head. And you just got to trust the Lord. People are crazy. And you know people in your life that are absolutely crazy. And if you don't have direct people like with your parents or your siblings, you have cousins or uncles or aunts. Because it's so prevalent, you have people in your life that are just nuts. And they'll drive you nuts if you allow them.
And if you don't, you might have friends that have family members or cousins or whatever that are struggling with mental illness. And if you don't in your personal life, praise God for that and be mindful to be a support to those around you that do. Because mm-hmm, like Jared said, it can get exhausting and difficult.
Yeah, but it doesn't have to ruin your life. And I think I can honestly say, and I think you can testify to this, that I've dealt with severe mental health with my father for 20 years. Things have ramped up in the last 5 to 7. And it's bad. It's real bad. But I'm happy, and my family life has not been destroyed. And I'm not consumed thinking about him all day, every day. There are times that I do, obviously. I mean, it's my father, but it doesn't destroy my life. And, I think that's possible for you as well. I think what I got to experience through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can experience as well. It's available. I think people that are naturally more sympathetic, I'm not naturally a sympathetic person. Can I get an amen?
That's true.
Uh-huh. I'm not naturally very sympathetic about stuff because I kind of wake up ready to go in life and don't understand why anybody would not wake up ready to go in life and happy and joyful. And if it's difficult, my general attitude is, well, suck it up. And like, why in the world are you, like, everything's okay. And life's good. Look how great life is. But if you're not naturally like that, I don't know if that's, you know, enraging. It might bother you that I'm saying that. Mm-hmm. But I think it is available for you to have joy through this. You got to have proper perspective and proportion about your life. And don't get bogged down by the enemy, the world, the flesh, and the devil, and the one that's dealing with mental health will want to drag you down because they want you to feel their pain. Mm-hmm. Don't feel their pain. Refuse that. Like, no, I'm not going to feel your pain with you. I want to help you, but there's limitations to what I can do.
And we have to take thoughts captive. So we have to have the mental fortitude to be able to compartmentalize and to decide, no, sorry, I'm not going to dwell on this. I'm going to put my thoughts on things above and think on more important things and put my hands to better work and do other things. Let's talk a little bit about some ways that you think can be a help to people with mental illness.
Okay. One, biblical compassion is helpful opposed to empathy. Joe Rigney wrote an incredible book on that, The Sin of Empathy, but what he's talking about is the Christian virtue of compassion and how the enemy twists that. And what ends up happening is you do become an enabler and somebody who sits in and and with them in their pain rather than actually trying to help them. And when it comes to mental health, the enemy is going to want to twist your compassion into empathy, and that will be destructive to that individual and to you. So I think what things can be done is number one, compassion. Number two, a big one is prayer, is trusting the Lord. Because what you'll end up seeing is somebody that will make two steps forward and they'll take five steps back. And you'll be hopeful when they've made two steps forward, and you'll get your hopes up and think, oh gosh, is God answering our prayers? And then they'll be five steps back, and the individual that you think has been making progress will make the dumbest decisions that you've ever seen, and they'll do the dumbest thing that you could that could possibly be done, the most selfish, the most confusing thing, and the most idiotic thing that could be done, and you are just hopeful, and all your hopes were dashed against the rock. And what do you do in both of those when there's two steps forward? You got to have sobriety of mind. You don't get caught up in being overly excited, and you just have to pray and trust the Lord. Most people who are dealing with mental health are going to be dealing with that. Even when you tell them, hey, you need to start eating right, you need to start exercising, you need to start getting, you know, these things in your life that are tearing you down, whether it be medications or whether it be bad advice from somebody or bad theology that they're consuming. And most likely they're not going to listen. And most likely they're not going to do what you tell them to do or take the advice that you give. They're going to keep doing what they've been doing. And when it comes to mental health, most of the time, what the track record is what the track record will be most of the time. And that can be maddening. But you just have to be a person of prayer. Pray, trust the Lord, and don't get in the pit with these people. Mm-hmm. And other than that, like, I don't really know other many tools in the tool belt.
We do believe that God can heal.
Absolutely.
So be praying for healing, that God would absolutely heal them. And we pray for healing for Jared's dad every night with our family. And
don't lose heart about that.
Yeah, we would love to see his dad completely restored and healed and healthy. Mm-hmm. We'd love to see that in our lifetime. But also, Jared and I have listened to a lot of podcasts and thought a lot about the role of food with mental health. And we've heard a lot of really promising things, but that's hard to implement sometimes with people with mental health. But if you do have control over a diet of a loved one that has mental health, I would highly encourage just seeking out some information on the role of diet when it comes to the brain, because there's some really promising things out there to just taking out like processed foods and dyes and artificial things from a diet and adding in whole nutritious foods and seeing huge turnarounds like within weeks. So definitely look into that if you do have control over diet.
Somebody's eating. Mm-hmm. That's so critical, because I think a lot of this epidemic that we've experienced, like ladies, for instance, who are in anxiety pills and all this, but they were on birth control from the time they were 14 years old. Because of various reasons. And how many people in our generation, these girls that were, and these lingering consequences then from these powerful drugs that have happened to us. These are the things that have happened to us in the medical world through medicine that have imposed upon a whole group of people across the country, things that have led to mental health disorders that are just rampant, but also the food system as well. That's happened to us, like from the dyes to the hormones to everything that's in our food system. The natural consequence of that, what we're just eating day in and day out, has produced a people that are just mentally unstable, and they are tossed to and fro, not just by every wind of doctrine, but every single wind of life, where they just can't handle life because their mind has so been just filled with toxins, and it's everywhere around us. And so when there's all these hormonal imbalances that weren't there from 1950 back, but have been introduced from the 60s forward from all of these substances being in our system, body, water, and all of that, there's so much against us that it is really hard to move forward because these things have happened to us. But once you start thinking through that, maybe there are some ways that you can help. If you're a wife and your husband is dealing with this, then buy foods that are clean.
Yeah.
And, talk to him, give him some good resources that will help him, listen to some good podcasts and send them to him about some of the results of eating clean. Maybe we can put some links into things that we've listened to that have been helpful for us. But there are some, major steps that people can make in getting healthy through prayer, spiritual warfare, eating clean, exercising, getting out of the house and getting outdoors, some basic things that can help you do well.
Yeah. I remember you, whenever you worked at the counseling center, saying that with depression, that exercise was like, I don't remember the percentages, but far more effective than antidepressants.
Absolutely.
That antidepressants actually weren't that effective, but people who started exercising saw drastic improvement in their mental health.
In our first question on the evaluation, and this was for the biblical counseling side and the Christian psychology side, the first question was, are you, one of the first few questions, I can't remember, there's like 25 questions in the first evaluation, and it's about exercise. Are you exercising or not? And the first thing we would encourage people to do is start exercising. You know, eat clean, exercise. And it's amazing how many people are suffering with mental illness who will not exercise at all. They just won't do it. And, you know, Micah, my doctor, my best buddy growing up, he is my doctor now. And he talks about the frustration of talking to people about their health and they just won't take your advice at all. And he talks about that with exercising and eating right. People just want a pill. They will not exercise. They will not eat right. And they just want the easy way. Mm. And if you're dealing with mental health and you just want the easiest path forward, just some sort of miracle drug or even God just to snap his fingers and heal, obviously that's you know, on the table. God can do those sorts of things. We've experienced, all of us, I think, have experienced healing in that way where God just flips a switch and just brings healing. But if you're not willing to do basic steps one day at a time, take it one day at a time, and if the person in your life is not willing to make incremental daily one day at a time changes, they're either not to the bottom yet, or they're people that really don't want help. They love their misery. And there are some people that love their misery and they want you to love their misery as well. And usually those are the kind of people that just can't get help because they don't want it.
There's also a really big benefit to just being outside in the sun. Mm-hmm. You get a lot of vitamin D just from being outside. So simple things like diet, exercise, being out in the sun. I don't want to overly simplify it because I know that mental health is a very serious issue. But if this was my family member and I was giving advice to myself, mm-hmm. then, or I was struggling in that way, these are things that I would implement first. And just even getting blood panels run and making sure that there wasn't a simple depletion of some sort, because that can happen too with our modern diet, is there can be just like a depletion of a mineral that you are lacking in that's really wreaking havoc on your body that can be very easily supplemented and fixed. And pray for that. Pray, God, that you would give us an easy fix for this. And there's brain therapies. There's lots of things that you can look into that can often be a huge blessing and benefit. Anything else?
That's good.
I think one of us. Oh, also, because it's so common to live just a sedentary lifestyle, people don't have a lot of hobbies anymore. A lot of just like activity, like gardening or woodworking or learning to do something. And those kind of things can be so beneficial for the brain, just like the hand-brain combination. Mm-hmm. So encouraging someone with a mental illness to do something productive, mm-hmm. Instead of coming home from work and watching a TV show in the evenings, getting outside and doing a hobby and being productive and doing something that you enjoy or finding that you enjoy, so that combination of like some activity, some mental effort, and something different going on in your brain, and then the sunshine also, it can just be really fulfilling and bring a lot of joy and mental clarity. So that's another.
Well, here's what Paul says: aspire to live quietly, and to mind your own business, and to work with your hands. Mm-hmm. A command: work with your hands. Now, some people have more white collar jobs, but I think a simple way in life to accomplish some of this is, if you're not working with your hands, except what you're saying, in some way, then find something to do with your hands. Find something to repair. Find something, this is kind of more, I'm thinking, for men. Find something to build. Find something to fix. Find something
find
to do.
Find a flower to plant.
Find a flower to, a flower to plant. Flower to plant. And, you know, doing something like that is tremendously helpful.
Yeah. So, anyways, those are some thoughts on mental illness, and hope that it was helpful and encouraging to you, and pray that God would strengthen you as you are hopefully an encouragement and strength to those around you. Thanks for listening.